But indeed, for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Just like every handyman has his own toolbox that he uses, God himself has his own toolbox for certain situations. And the Christians inside are his tools. Whether you're a DeWalt, a Black & Decker, or Milwaukee, whether you're a wrench, a screwdriver, or a hammer, whether you're a rusty old tool, or even a brand new tool, you're still a tool for God. Every instrument has its own purpose, just as God has a purpose for you. Now, how can God use us as Christians as instruments for the sake of others? I picked three main reasons for this. Reason one, God can use us as the tools to teach others. Reason two, he can use us to encourage others. And reason three, he can use us to be examples to others. Now, obviously, there's more reasons here, but I picked these three main because I thought this would suit the sermon the best. So how can God use us as a tool to teach others? God can use us as an instrument to teach others when he says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, "Until I come, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching." Okay, 2 Timothy 4, 2. When Paul told Timothy to preach the word, to be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort, with complete patience and teaching. And also, in Mark 16:15, when Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, an example of how God uses us as an instrument to teach others can be found in the Apostle Paul. If you want, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 14. And I'll be starting in verse 19 and reading through verse 22. And it reads, "Then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city the very next day and departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue the faith, and saying, 'We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God.'" Now, Paul had just been stoned, thought to be dead. You can imagine how bad he looked. If someone was stoned enough to the point where they looked dead, they're not going to look very great. But the very next day, it said he went to Derbe and preached the gospel. Does the Bible say 1 week later he went to Derbe and preached the gospel? How about a month later? No, the Bible says the very next day. He probably didn't even get 24 hours to rest. But Paul was so determined to keep to the Great Commission and preach no matter what. He was dedicated and he made no excuses. If Paul can be stoned and go preach the gospel, there's no reason, no excuse that we can make to not preach it as well. We need to be teachers like Paul, because if there are none, less people will learn. Point number two, how can God use us as an instrument to encourage others? God uses us as tools to encourage others when he states it in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." Also in Hebrews 10:25, "Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Also in Hebrews 3:13, "But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." So in these verses, we see that we need to be an encouragement to each other. An example of this is Barnabas. If you guys want to, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 15. In my Bible, it's on the same page as the other one. And I'll be starting in verse 36. Acts chapter 15, verse 36. "Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us now go back and visit our brethren in the city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing.' Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to work. Then the contention became so sharp that they departed from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being condemned by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Barnabas accepted John Mark back, unlike Paul, who had John Mark had departed from them in Pamphylia and not had gone with them to work. Do you think that there was a chance that because of Barnabas' acceptance of John Mark, that John Mark was encouraged by that? That's definitely a possibility. Also, Barnabas' name means son of encouragement. And in Acts 11:24, God states that Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. We need to be encouraged to others like Barnabas, so that way when we are discouraged, we have them to encourage us instead. And point number three, how can God use us as a tool to be examples to others? Now for this one, I picked Jesus. I could have picked Jesus for every one of these points, but I wanted to use some variation. And the reason why I picked this one is because in John 13:15 it says, "For I have given you an example, that you should also do just as I have done to you." So this verse states right here that God has given us an example to look up to. Also in Proverbs 22:6, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." 1 Timothy 4:12 states, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." Jesus is the perfect example that has God given us in order to follow. Turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 13. I'll be starting in verse 12. John 13:12-17. "So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is no greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you who do them." Washing each other's feet was one of the most respectful things someone could have done at this time. But just imagine, Jesus did it himself. Imagine how dirty the disciples' feet were. They didn't wear closed-toed shoes. They wore sandals. So just imagine how much dirt they had on their feet. The Son of God cleaned it for them. But why did he do this? It says in the verse right here, in verse 15, "For I have given you an example." Jesus wanted to act as an example to them so that they could be servants to each other as well. Also, in Matthew 4, if you will turn there with me, Matthew chapter 4. When Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, starting in verse 1. Matthew 4:1-11. "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him and he said, If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up to his holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and it said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdom of the world and their glory. And he said to him, All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and only him shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Jesus served an example to us even when he was alone. It was just him and the devil in the wilderness, and he still served as an example to us. He could have listened to the devil and made bread from stone, because as you saw in the verse, it said, 40 days and 40 nights without food, he was hungry. But he didn't. He quoted scripture. He showed us an example of what we should do when sin tries to tempt us. We need to be an example to others like Jesus, so that the people who look up to us are doing the right thing as well. So, how can we become God's tools? Before becoming the instruments of God, there's a process we must go through. First, we must hear the word. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Then we must believe his word. John 6:29. Jesus answered them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Then you must repent of your sins, Acts 3:19. Repent therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out. And then you must confess that Jesus is the Son of God, Philippians 2:11. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God the Father. Then you must be baptized in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38 says, Then Peter said to him, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But that's not it. Once you've done all this, you must live faithfully for as long as you live. 1 Corinthians 9:20 says, You do not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain it. Let me ask you something. If you're running a race and you stop halfway through, do you get the prize? Absolutely not. So if this is our life and we're running the race but we stop halfway through after we're baptized, will we get the prize for the kingdom of God? No. Let's go ahead and be the instruments of God to try and help the others by teaching, encouraging, and being an example to them, so that they might become the tools of God as well. We're about to sing an invitation song in a little bit, and if anybody in this room would like to be saved today and join God's toolbox, or if you're already a part of it and you need to be renewed, won't you come as together we stand and sing?